You're listening to Morning Edition on WNYC. There's no lack of landscape paintings or portraits in the art world, but what's in this week? Paintings that feature words. Two new major exhibitions in New York are examples of what's become known as the Text and Image School of Art. American artist Robert Indiana's show at the Whitney consists mostly of pop art paintings from the 1960s, inscribed with words like love, eat, die, and hug. And Belgian artist René Magritte's exhibit at the Museum of Modern Art includes his best-known painting, the one of a pipe floating above the sentence, "This is not a pipe." WNYC's art critic Deborah Solomon joins us to talk about wordy art. Good morning, Deborah.
Hello there, Soterios.
So is this a coincidence, these two shows that both consist of text-heavy paintings? I mean, why would an artist want to paint words?
It absolutely is a coincidence, and one that allows us to stand back and note that wordplay has always been a part of 20th century art. Robert Indiana, an American artist from the heartland, and Magritte, a Belgian and a bit of a mystery man, might not seem to have a lot in common, but both were in fact infatuated with words and used them very differently in a way. You could say Indiana used words to express meaning, whereas Magritte, the surrealist, used words in his art to impede meaning.
Let's talk a bit more about Indiana's show at the Whitney. He likes short, blunt words like eat and love and die, but he also likes whole sentences. Whitney curator Barbara Haskell says he used phrases from Walt Whitman and other classic American artists, for example, arranged in the shape of a circle.
They suggest a kind of visual poetry, and that was one of the things that he was eager to do, is to merge this, make a synthesis of the visual and the verbal, and that was something that no one else has really done.
Do you see Indiana as a poet?
Not primarily a poet. I see him more as a painter who uses words in a very evocative way. He arranges words in circles in a style that is probably based more on gas station signs, which also tend to be circular and have words on them, than on actual poetry and the tradition of poetry.
So in this exhibition, there is a two-panel painting with just two words on it, eat and die. Mm-hmm. So, you know, is Indiana making words, or is he making images, or is it some sort of hybrid between the two?
I think he's making a painting that in many ways you can see as a response to abstract expressionism. When he arrived in New York in 1952, Pollock and de Kooning ruled the art scene, and they were always describing their work as a leap into the unknown. Art was supposed to be mysterious, and you weren't supposed to be able to describe it. And then along comes Robert Indiana, who says, hey, I could put my art into words. I could put art into two words, eat, die. I'm thereby describing the entire life process. So I think he was sending up the rhetoric that surrounds abstract expressionism. And if his words can seem bluntly comic, his style, of course, is also very blunt. He's hard-edged, unlike his predecessors, and goes for a kind of striking graphic clarity.
Now, compared to Indiana, Magritte comes across as much more European, or some might say wittier. I mean, is he?
Yes, absolutely. Mark Twain once said that Americans invented humor, the French invented wit, and the British invented satire. And Magritte certainly is a great wit, but also he uses words in a way that I think tap into surrealism. He was an artist who suffered great tragedy in his childhood. His mother committed suicide when he was 13. And I think he felt like the world really does not offer clear meaning. So when he painted, for instance, a picture of a horse and put the word door below it, mismatching words and images, he really made us feel sort of the futility of language.
Well, you know, the use of words in paintings has some other complications. I understand Indiana was never able to copyright his love image. Why is that?
Yes, the U.S. government says you cannot copyright a word. So when they looked at his love painting, which, of course, consists of four uppercase letters stacked in two rows with the O in love tilted to the right, they saw a word instead of an image, and they said it cannot be copyrighted. So he never really collected any money on the millions and millions of reproductions of his work. Love, as you know, has been reproduced everywhere.
So, Deborah, do you recommend these two shows?
Absolutely. I think it's good to remember that artists are word people, too. They made me wonder what I would put on a canvas if I were a painter. And I decided that I would make a painting that said, be nice, because that is my motto as both a critic and a person, even though most people assume critics are not nice. I think they are nice. Sotirios, let me ask you, if you were to make a painting with a word or two words inscribed on the surface, what words would you pick?
I think I'd have to make it good morning.
Good morning. Oh, excellent. In bright yellow a blue ground?
Absolutely. Bright sun yellow, the sun, the color of the sun.
Sounds very pop.
And we'd like to hear what your words would be, word or words. You can let us know at WNYC.org. You're listening to Morning Edition on WNYC. Our critic, Deborah Solomon, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.